The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app, or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. It made the world of rain last night. I was half tempted to get up and build the ark. I was coming up there over to Killorglan and crossing the lawn, it was quite high this morning. It's made some amount of rain. If you want to get in touch with the programme, Derval is taking your calls. 066-712-3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. We have a very busy programme for you this morning. My thanks to Niamh Daly, who was on before us. And that reminds me, actually, the amount of messages we got for her grandmother's interview, Lily Kelleher, who was 100 years of age in the last few months, was overwhelming. So thanks a million to everyone who got in touch. And well done, Liddy, you did a great job. Now, on the Saturday Supplement, we'll have our monthly In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh. This month's theme was making the most of it, and we had to make the most of it, the way the weather was. We'll hear about a new book, Old Ways, New Days, Ireland Remembered, written by folklorist Shane Lahan, where he brings Ireland's everyday past vividly to life, from Bert customs to mourning rituals, matchmakers to milking stools, butter charms to fairy lore. And it is a fantastic book. I have it here in my hand, and it's a real ode to the past, all the different traditions and different things. It's spectacular. And you know, Shane often comes on here, of course, his connections in Portmagee, so I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. And last Saturday, I was asked along to the opening of the Kerry Select exhibition at the Grills Gallery in Killorglan. It's a collection of one of our, a group of our outstanding artists in this county. And I went along and I talked to Robert and Lucy Carter there. And I also talked to a few of the people, artists exhibiting there. And in the new year, we have a new series called Artists' Kingdom, where we interview eight different artists. And actually, speaking of Deborah Cronin, who's my past student, who is taking your calls today, or sister Cathy Cronin, who is an artist in Tralee, features on that. Now, before I get to Dominic Walsh, I have two things that I have to let you know about. And you'll remember Anne Mando Sullivan was on with us a few months ago. And there's an Acquired Brain Injury Ireland Coffee Morning taking place Friday, December 12th in Tech Armagan from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Acquired Brain Injury Community Rehab Workers will be there on the day. Pop in and see what Acquired Brain Injury do, how they help people who have experienced a stroke, car accident, fall, brain surgery, head injury, etc. And the supports and services that are available to clients and their family members. There's knitted Christmas decorations available for donations given on the day, so please support that. It's on Friday, 12th of December, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And also, Faroga Connect Safely Parents Guardians are having an online safety webinar via Zoom. So that is on December 10th, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And topics include parental controls, gaming, the role of AI, and filter bubbles. All very important if you are a parent nowadays. So for further information, you can contact Connect Safely at faroga.ie. Now, Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot. Dominic, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to Joe on this extremely wet morning.
Yeah, it's very dark here, isn't it?
Very dark in the studio.
Yeah, we've the lights on, but outside it's very dark, isn't it?
It's very dark out there. But you know, still, even though the weather isn't great and it's raining like that, it's good to get out for a bit of a walk or have a look out the door and see what's there like that, you know, because this is a good time of year for taking pictures, you know, on that. The sun is very low when it does come out, and you get great shadows and you get great, like, you know, shapes and nooks and crannies, like, you know, on the golf courses, on landscapes and that. So it's a good time of year. So, like, it's not all doom and gloom in the weather like that, John.
Yeah, and I think you made a good point as well, Dominic, about just getting out there, because if you're inside and the fire is on and it's lovely and cozy and it's dark to go out, you go, oh, geez, I'd give it a miss today. But it's about that first step, just to get out. You're fine once you get out.
Get out once you get out.
Put on the clothes.
Dress to the weather.
Yeah. Exactly.
What to do is get out there. And on that, and like, and I've been doing a fair bit of walk now the last couple of weeks now there and that, in between the showers and doing bits and pieces. But then it's just to get out is lovely.
Now, Dominic always brings along photos he's taken with him during the month, and then we go into his archive later on. He's a very kind of a special archive photo. It's based on the history of Kerry GAA, which had a big celebration last night, which Dominic was at. So we'll be talking to him about that later on. But first, Kerry Education Training Board was delighted to welcome Minister for Education and Youth, Helen McEntee, to Tahala Community National School for the official opening of the school following its transfer to Kerry ETB patronage. And also pictured our Minister Norma Foley, Minister of Education and Youth, and Mike Kennelly. And you've kind of a collage of photos here, Dominic, where you're also featuring, I can see, Principal Morris Fitzgerald there, and I recognise the uniform. That is my old school Colossian Skellige. I was there for 1 year because it opened 99 into 2000. We were the first Leaving Cert that year. It was actually an amalgamation of three schools. You had the Tech in Waterville, you had the St. John Bosco's, the Convent in Carrisavine, and you had Scully Cunnell, named after Daniel O'Connell, and they were in Carrisavine as well. So the three schools amalgamated into one.
It is a very big school, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of students there and lovely students down there like that. I mean, like we'll talk about your school. I hope you were the model student, were you, Joe?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
I think so. On time every morning, always doing your homework.
Well, I tell you, the bus now, we got the bus to school. And I know Mary Cunanan might be listening now. She was the bus driver. She'd often say closest to the parish.
Line, yeah.
Always late or whatever. Yeah. Because we'd be running out the door and we'd get collected at the cross. And our house, then she'd pass our house after the cross and she'd drive slowly. And sometimes my mother would be trying to bait us out the door and we'd run in front. Mary would just slow down enough that we'd get in. But we nearly missed it a few times. But yeah, so yeah. You have to bring up loads of trauma there. And you know what I actually always remember is we'd always be listening to Radio Kerry news because it'd be that time of the morning. And it was Fiona Stack was the newsreader then, who of course the general manager here. No,
that's right, that's correct.
Yeah. But anyway, we digress. So tell us about these photos.
Well, I was down at your school anyway because they opened up a new building, a modular building there. And there was an autism unit in there and there was some extracurricular rooms inside there as well. And what a building. And you know, like they were down there on the day and meeting the students. And there was one student then went into the autism class and he designed a Google page for the minister like that, Minister McEntee and Minister Foley. And they both came in to look at it. And he gave a lovely little speech and he was talking to them and he was showing them how he reacts and how he interacts with his work. And he had this little bowl. It was a sound bowl. And what he did was he'd hit the ball and he'd kind of like almost like a wooden baron handle and he'd rub it around the ball and
you'd get all
these different sounds.
Yeah.
Very calming, actually. Yeah. Very calming like that.
Like the Tibetan monks used to use that kind of thing.
That's actually probably what it was.
Yeah.
On that, you know?
Yeah.
So we opened it and the students were, we'd singing and we'd dancing, we'd a bit of everything down there. So it was great down there.
The bishop was there as well, I say.
Bishop Ray was there as well. Michael Healy Ray and you had a lot more and you had people from the Kerry Education Board, the builders and of course the students. The students were in there as well. They all took part in it.
You've got a very interesting photo there, I reckon that's Tahala National School then, with Minister McEntee, Minister Foley and Mike Kennelly there as well. They're playing the tin whistle. There's two, McEntee is playing tin whistle. Could she play the tin whistle?
I'm telling you.
Or was she bluffing?
No, she could play it. Probably not fluently now. You couldn't be saying that really, could you?
But yeah,
not
fluently. Be careful now what you say, yeah.
She managed to play it quite well. A lot better now than I could play it, to be honest with you.
That's not saying much.
I couldn't even hold it, to be honest, like that. We went down to Halle School and that's a lovely school.
Yeah.
It is a really...
It is, yeah. We did a series down there.
What a picturesque area it is down there in South Kerry. It's absolutely amazing down there. Went into the school. The students were so excited to see the minister. It is unbelievable. Like, we don't think of it. We consider a minister as a person.
Yeah.
But like, when they come in and they saw McEntee coming in like that, like, they didn't know whether she was the queen or the president, they knew she was a very important person that they behaved for and get ready and stand in line and everything like that. So it was absolutely lovely. But she went into this class and some of the students were playing and there was tin whistles up on the table and she said, come on, I'll have a go at this. Now she started and she kind of forgot what she was doing, but then she got into it. But the students absolutely had a ball.
Did they? Yeah. It's always, yeah, when there's like a dignitary or someone coming to the school, yeah, like you'd be prepping well in advance, you know, and all that. Yeah, it was amazing. Great selection of photos, Dominic, there. But it is, and it is going to be, I don't want to give away too much, but it's kind of following what our theme will be for next month. But it is, I suppose, the Christmas season has approached, and you have a great, real great Christmas photo here. That's outside the Ash Memorial Hall, I reckon, from the angle. You're down low. Santa is in the middle. There's two guard members of Garda Síochána behind them. And then you have all these kind of Santa's elves. Is that Deirdre Walsh's daughter there?
It is, yes, and that, yeah. Olivia, isn't it?
Yeah, do I recognise her there now? Yeah, mad.
So we went down to do this. This is actually, this was the launch of the festive weekend that's coming this weekend. There's a parade on this evening for you at home if you would like to come into Tralee at 6 o'clock. There's a fun afternoon in Tralee tomorrow as well. I think from about 12:30 and another parade tomorrow, even like that.
Yeah. There's one in Killarney as well, I think, just in case they're on to us. Yeah.
That's great. Let us know if there's parades around the county. We'll mention it here. Yeah. You know, no problem at all. But you know, the thing about this, Santi was amazing. Like, he arrived just like that. Like, we were trying to organise it.
Magic.
And we were waiting for him. And suddenly he rounds the corner. He was there. And it was brilliant. So it's great to take a picture. And the thing about Santi is, he knows everybody's names.
Yeah.
He said, "How you doing, Dominic?" Like, I mean, like, after all these years, he still remembers my name. Yeah. And he spoke about you as well.
Did he?
He said,
"Did he say I was in the naughty list or the...
He said, "You want to kind of finish off the letter."
What's the other list?
He said, "You're not sure what Colin wants." Colin wants. So he said, "All you got to do is put new parents and Colin's age on it, and he'll take care of everything."
That's good.
So you're okay. He will get the gift for you. All right.
Thank you.
You know, and that. But just to tell our people that would like to know about photography, how I took this on that. Obviously, it's a very low picture. Now, I took it for two reasons. I took it because it was kind of a blustery day. It was windy. And what I did was I knelt down the ground and I put the camera on the ground. And I, as you see, I'm shooting right up. So that wedged the camera down. I was shooting at 50th of a second. As I say, your eyes will blink at 250th of a second. So to shoot, to slow it down to 50th of a second is quite slow. So I had it down low and I shot up. It's a fisheye lens I used. A fisheye lens is a really, really wide lens on that. It was about 14 millimeter lens. So that means I could get in close and take the shot. And I focus locked, which I tell people is, I take the focus, I lock it, and I pull back my flash two stops. But if you can just look at the composition more than anything else.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That, good colours,
I've got everybody kneeling down the front. I've got them pushed in close. Now, this would be kind of that you could do if you're taking your Christmas photographs at home. If you just have a look at this style of photograph.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you want to be taking your family pictures.
Yeah.
Get them in nice and close and not being afraid to get people to lean into the camera, to lean forward like that. Because what you're doing is you're actually making the photograph tighter.
Yeah.
And it creates less space.
That's a good hint or tip to lean in, yeah. Do you know what I noticed about it? So Santa's obviously the main man. He's the centre focal point. And everything's kind of pointing towards him because you have these inflatable blow-up Thai soldiers and elves in the background, and they even look like they're pointy at Santa. You have the two guards on either side of Santa, and all the girls are pointing towards him as well. It's very cleverly done. Did that take you long to kind of set up then?
Took a little bit of while.
Yeah, it looks
took
like
a bit
it,
of
yeah.
time. And I have to thank like the young dancers and the performers. Like if you notice, it was a cold day. Mm. They're on their knees. They're on the ground. So like as a photographer, when you're taking pictures, you have to be aware of people's discomfort when you're taking pictures, because people will go into an uncomfortable position and look very happy in it. That doesn't mean that they're comfortable in the picture. Do you know, they're performers. So you try and move very fast to get it like that. But yes, Santi it is. And the way I've it organised, your eyes are drawn into Santi, and he's just, Santi's amazing. This Santi's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, did you get destroyed now lying down on the wet ground there?
I got wet, but these are things
you
do for your art. Uh-huh. You get down nice and low, and it was a cold, cold day. I had jackets and I had a sweatshirt on me. Look at the performers, they're slightly clad in that, so like, you know.
Yeah, but it's a real kind of, it's a great time of year. I think, you know, the build up to Christmas is almost better than Christmas itself. There's a real buzz, isn't there? This kind of time, you know. Have you decorations up?
I put up my tree on the 25th or 26th of November.
What?
Yes.
You've it up already, so?
I have it up already, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You weren't happy at home when I arrived up with a tree in the trailer.
Brought it do you get the old...
I get the real tree.
The real tree, so the smell of the pine. And
yeah,
have you carpet project. Under that now?
No, I wouldn't floor underneath that.
I remember that when we were younger, you'd have to pick the pine things, needles out of the carpet. Oh, my God, it was a nightmare. The Hoover wouldn't do it, and you'd have to do it with your hands.
Yeah. But like, I have a timber floor. All I do is just brush it back underneath.
Oh, you've the help anyway. You'd get them in. So Dominic Walsh is with us. He's going to stay with us because we are going to be looking at your photos, and the theme was making the most of it.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
That's what you're listening to, and I hope you're enjoying the programme. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on 066-712-3666. Dervla is taking your calls. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot, and now we're going to be looking at your photos that you sent in to us, and the theme was making the most of it. Making the most of a sunny November afternoon at a sporty event in Listowel were Jason Carmody and Martin Galvin. Yours, Moss Joe Brown. Do you know what I like about this photo, Dominic, is one is like in the foreground and the other guy is well away from him, but they still kind of seem to share a common thing here. And the other thing is, you know where the sun is because they both have their hands, one led to his forehead, you know, like he's doing a salute to block the sun, and the other guy has a program and he has that to his head to block the sun.
Well, to be honest, when I looked at it, I was kind of trying to imagine what it was and try to get Master O'Brien's head to see actually what it was, but you can tell it is the sun. I'd say it's a very sunny event that they're at.
It's that winter sun.
That's winter sun.
Dangerous when you're driving.
It's like gold. Keepers have massive problems this time. Yeah. Have you ever seen with the peak hats? And the peak hats are almost down over their nose, trying to see ahead of them like that. So I'd say what it is like that. But what an amazing sky. Like, look, it's real winter. You're getting sunny days, wet days, windy days, you know. Like, you've all mixtures of weather this time. It's a great picture.
Hope you like my choice from Ita Hannan in Bale. I watched as this picture fell into place. A guy walking his dog and the moon rising. The second one, this reminds me of Christmas. Sometimes you make a picture work for you. And then the third one is Hooper Swans come to Ireland in the winter time. I took the picture near Ballydufflin. Like I said, that's Ita Hannan. And it's a Hooper Swan. I was wondering, it's very unusual looking swan.
It is a beautiful picture, actually, of a swan. And there's such a big bird in there. Like, they're massive. If you ever see them come into land, it's like a jet coming in. They come down and slow down, and the feet touch the water. They slide along like that. It's absolutely great.
It reminds me, Dominic, of a swan and a goose having a romantic encounter, and this is what happened. That's what it looks like to me, though.
It looks, yeah.
It's a black tip to the yellow beak.
That's right, yes.
But you described it a lot better than I did. The man walking the dog, it's a cool the way the sun is. Our one didn't focus now, so I wonder, I think these were kind of compressed photos.
See, but they could be WhatsApp.
Yeah, we keep saying about the danger of that.
Danger of WhatsApp. Like, don't ever save or print pictures from WhatsApp. Always try and print from the original. You'll get the quality on that. And he's a brave man running along the beach, like, with a dog, and he's got a pair of shots from his feet, you know, on that.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, the picture of the moon and the tree, like, people should go onto the Radio Kerry Facebook page this morning and have a look and see these pictures, because this is the most amazing picture I've ever seen of the sun. You've got the branches coming out, and it's like as if they're just barely touching the top of the moon like that. Is the moon or the sunset now? I'm wondering, I'm thinking sunset, is it?
It doesn't say. It just reminds me of Christmas. Sometimes you make a picture work for you.
Great picture. It's absolutely lovely. And the composition is absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, you would think it was the sun. Did you see the moon this morning when we were coming in?
Yeah.
Full moon and it's bright.
You can see all over the place. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, amazing. Hello, Joe. These are two shots I took in this awful weather. I don't know if they're any good or not. The first is Derrynane Abbey Graveyard in the very early morning fog. It was actually much more atmospheric than the photos show. I can never seem to get those shots right. We might get a tip off you, Dominic. The second was taken on the spur of the moment with my phone on the way home from Kinmare yesterday evening. I thought the light would suit a black and white scene. All the best, Stephen O'Shea. And Stephen, I think these are absolutely spectacular photos. The one of the graveyard, Dominic, it's like a scene from Dickens or something. It's just so moody and it just looks amazing the way you see the headstones kind of silhouetted against the background.
Harry Potter. It's almost like a location for a film.
Yeah,
that you're looking at that, and it just goes to show, like, you can barely see the colours. And like we're talking about the colours that were there, but they're barely, the time of day has washed them out like that, you know. When I looked at it first, I actually thought it was a black and white picture.
Yeah.
On that, but it's not. There's colour in it, and you can see the colour of the sky.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, but to see the silhouettes of the gravestones and the Celtic cross gravestones, like they're one 4 and 5 feet and 6 feet high in the very old graveyards. It's absolutely lovely. And the one going along the road, it's an excellent black and white. It's absolutely fantastic. It's great to be ready to take a picture. As I always say, like, take the picture. And like he was saying, like, he didn't really know how it was going to turn out.
Yeah.
When he looked at it afterwards, it was an exceptionally good picture.
Yeah.
So always, when you think, oh, should I, shouldn't, take the picture, and you can, at least you can delete it.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Good to get it.
Because he seemed, he says, oh, I never seemed to get them right. Well, he got these right, innit, didn't he?
Perfection.
Yeah.
Absolute perfection.
Hello, John Dominic. Please find attached my 3 photos for December in Focus, all taken in Clarny on a beautiful November day. The first is Muckross House and Gardens. The second and the third are Clarny House and Gardens. Hope you enjoyed them. Love the show. Regards, Sheila Quirk, Castle Gregory. Thanks a million for that, Sheila. And happy Christmas to you. We can say that now, Dominic. Happy Christmas, Dominic.
Happy Christmas to you too as well.
Yeah, so like Clarny is just such a beautiful spot anyway, and the two houses we're talking about are spectacular. But what they have, I think, at this time of year, the advantage is the trees as well, where you get those different shades.
Yeah, the trees and the colours on the trees, and the leaves are completely gone. There's some on the ground and there's some there. And it's a very kind of a welcoming photograph like that, you know, if you look at it. There's people walking, enjoying themselves like that, you know. And that, like, again, get out, about, see what we have. Short walks, long walks. Go to places if you can't walk, sit in your car, roll down the window, let a bit of air in around the car and draw. Like, it's all great for people's mental health to get off out there like that. But like, you can just see the trees where they're growing into each other and everything like that. So it's, the composition is absolutely lovely. I really like that set of pictures.
Brilliant. The theme was for this month, making the most of it. And we're going to return to more of your photos after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Please say a very special birthday today, Sunday. Today is Sunday. Today is Saturday. So I don't know if the birthday is today or tomorrow, to our wonderful cousin. And it's Kiosha or Keisha. I never heard this name, Dominic. K-I-O-S-H-A. It's
Kiosha,
is it?
Is it?
Yeah. You put a bit fancier twist in it. Yeah, it's a nice name, isn't it? Fogarty in Filemore. Lots of love from cousins Con, Sinead, Tig, Sive, and Ashleen O'Sullivan over the water, Cahir Sivine. And also Tony Noonan gets in touch to say, great show as always. Tell Dominic I said hello, top man. And that is Tony Noonan's Christmas Lights. Abigail Bernard was up to the opening. She went with her family. She was telling me she was going to go. And by all accounts, was a great day out. You go along every year to take photos, don't you?
I should be up the next week. Now I'm going to do photos next week. It's the most amazing spectacle. It's great to see. And look what this gentleman does for charity. Absolutely amazing.
Brilliant. Let's get back to our photos. Good morning, Joe and Dominic. Almost late, as usual. Smiley face. The 3 photos I'm sending are one from today, the 26th, at the Lower Lake Clarny, on my way home, using leading lines. And I must ask you about that, Dominic. The second is Dingle, and I used the boats and my lens to pull the photo back from the other side of the pier. The last photograph is a random gate near Castle Island while taking a phone call. Thanks for looking. Have a good weekend, Aidan Griffin. Thanks a million, Aidan. And Aidan, as always, Dominic, he just sends in spectacular photos. What does he mean by leading lines?
Oh, I would interpret that if you at home look at the pictures there, you would see, especially the one at Clowney Lake there, if you look down at the rocks, you can see lines, furrows on a field as well. Joe, when farmers are ploughing, you would see the furrows and you'd have lines. So they'd be kind of leading lines. That's where I get it from. And you're looking out. And again, those lines actually lead your eyes right into the centre of the photograph, where you look down right to the valley there and see the lovely stone formations. That it's an absolute brilliant picture.
So that's the Lower Lake in Clarny.
Yes.
Where is that? That's a stunning location, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that the one outside of the... on the way out, it's both...
Before you climb to Moll's Gap, is it? Or
Yeah. It's before, it's after Tark Waterfall, I would think. I think that's the Lower Lake.
Yeah. You know.
I'm sure somebody's going to be in straight away now, as Joan said.
Yeah.
This is where it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's stunning, though. Dingle always just looks spectacular. I like the idea of, you know, coming along to a random gate and taking a photo, because those old gates, they're spectacular, aren't they? And, you know, it's something like that that you wouldn't think about. It's thinking outside the box, your famous phrase, you know, where you get an object or something and like, it can be quite spectacular.
To be honest, like this location here, like, you have amazing gates, amazing railings, you have a most magnificent stone wall on that, you've got a bit of grass outside, you've got the leaves. Like, if you had to put a camera there for 12 months and just take a picture every couple of weeks, can you imagine the changes you would see?
Yeah,
that it's absolutely brilliant like that. And again, as I said, you said thinking outside the box, just you could be walking, a picture could be just outside your door, or it could be miles away. It just depends like that. There's pictures every place you look.
Yeah,
and again, if you think as a photographer, go around and look at things and kind of imagine, even shut your eyes, open your eyes and kind of create a little bit of a shutter in your mind,
yeah,
you'd actually get used to creating images like that. It's a lovely image.
You've put a question into my head there now for you, Dominic, and because, like, this is your profession, but, like, photography can also be a hobby. And that's why I want to say, when you retire now many years, but you can never really retire from photography, I'd say you could keep going forever. But, like, is there a project you'd kind of like to do, or, you know, something like that, you know, that you undertake a theme or something and follow it? Like, there's ones that, like, stand out to me. Say, when you're looking at art exhibitions, they might pick a theme and they'll just go on that. It could be the sea or something. Like you said there about a scene changing every few weeks. That could be anywhere. You could do a landscape and do that every few weeks,
yes,
or anything.
Yes, yes.
Is there anything like that that you'd like to do?
One project really like that, you know, and I've create a collection of black and white images.
Okay.
I've got about 40, 50 images that I really like. And I worked on the colours to get black and whites. The Rose Hotel actually took a part of the selection and put, I think, 25 or 30 in their hotel.
Oh.
And they took from me like that. But it's a collection I'm working on. And I've been into St. John's Church, and I've got St. John's Church photographed from a drone, from different locations within inside the church that people wouldn't see.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're sitting inside in the pews and you're down, you're looking up, everybody sees that view. So what I did is I brought in the drone and I went to the other end and shot down from different angles, up high and down low.
I thought you misspoke there when you said inside the church, but you were actually inside the church with the drone. Was Mass on?
No, Mass was not on.
And everyone ducking their heads.
I did
the priest
get permission,
ducked,
and the church was closed when I did go in, so I didn't have to worry about anything on that.
So that's the perspective then was completely different.
Completely different. Yeah. It's very unusual. So I have a collection working like that. And if you ask me what I would really, really like to do, I'd love to be a war photographer.
A wall photographer?
War.
A war.
I'd love to go to war and photograph. That was always my whole life. That's all I wanted to do.
That's a lot more exciting than a wall photographer.
A war photographer.
Would you really?
I would absolutely love to do that, Jess.
Would you not be afraid?
Terrified.
Yeah.
But I would just, that's something I would love to do. You know,
why?
What I would like to do is probably meet soldiers in training camp.
Yeah.
And pick out a selection of soldiers, you know, from training, getting ready, things like that. And then go and experience the change of their attitudes and their interactions with life
as
they go about it.
Yeah.
I presume your life really changes.
Yeah.
You go over as one person, and what you experience, you might come back slightly different.
Yeah.
And I'd like to photograph that and documentate that. I think that's my ideal goal, but would I be allowed to go?
I'd say no.
I'm 60 this year, Joe. I don't think I'd be able to be running around after soldiers.
But they often say about that, like the war correspondents with the camera people, that they don't feel like they're in the war. They're like, you know, they're kind of a bit removed because they're behind the camera.
Well, funny enough, like anytime I'm doing a job that I'm not happy with, or I am comfortable there and that, and like once the camera goes up in front of me, it's like if I'm sitting home watching television.
Yeah.
You kind of dissociate yourself a small bit of it like that, you know. But what we tend to do as photographers, when we're at situations that are, you know, that we feel uneasy with like that, we kind of talk with each other.
Yeah.
You'd be very annoyed, you kind of laugh, and then some fellow might crack a joke about what you did last week or something like that, you know, and it just takes you, it can take you away from the situation then, and you're kind of in that group.
Yeah.
And then you leave that group and you go back into a harrowing situation and you're kind of more ready for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The kind of, what I like in that is when I was doing an interview on the Kells Rope Bridge, I'm afraid of heights, and I was on the rope bridge doing the interview, but doing the interview, I was actually fine because I had to concentrate on doing the interview. So it kind of distracted me a bit, but I got the heebie-jeebies a few times there when I looked down. But
yeah, and you'd have to kind of come back in and kind of recompose yourself.
Yeah, that's
my jobs, and I'd come back, recompose, and then go back in then.
Yeah. Hi, Joe and Dominic, back to our photos. Dominic, here are my three photos for the November competition. Making the most of the fine day, chilling in Onascall Lake, County Kerry. Met this gentleman, this is the second photo, met this gentleman in Liverpool while on a photography trip with members of Killarney Camera Club, and had a really good discussion with him about cameras, lenses and general photography. That's amazing. We'll have to talk to the Killarney Camera Club sometime, Dominic. And the third one is Cara from the USA, making the most of her time at Kilmacudder Church, west of Dingle, shortly after attending her parents' 10-year wedding vows renewal. She has just come through the eye of the needle. It is said that anybody who can fit through the narrow opening will go to heaven. Best regards, Noel O'Neill. And Noel has a spectacular variety, I would say, Dominic, of photos. And we're talking about making the most of it. He really made the most of the photo of the girl, Cara.
Oh, it is. That's an amazing picture. I tell you, like, you have to give special mention to this picture. It's absolutely lovely.
Her dress is phenomenal. It's like it's made out of flowers.
And I'd say they're actually flowers or coming up. They're on
it. They are, yeah. It's like 3D, yeah.
And that, again, you at home, go and look at the Facebook page this morning. Take a quick look at these pictures. They're absolutely fabulous. And, like, I think people are kind of listening to our kind of, like...
Descriptions.
Descriptions. Yeah. And maybe how to enhance pictures. Like, cropping is lovely. What I call about the cropping is how you cut the photograph down. It's absolutely brilliant like that, you know. And the gentleman on the street with the camera, like, again, who takes pictures of photographers? They're always behind the camera, and it's lovely to see an interesting picture like that. It's a lovely composition, and the gentleman just getting ready. Look at the smiley face in him. Yeah. Like, he's really enjoying what he's doing like that, you know. And that. And camera clubs are an amazing place for people into. Like, I'm 100% behind camera clubs. It's great for interaction, and it's great to get advice, because you can have all the manuals in the world, but to sit beside somebody and get a bit of advice. Like, you know, like, I changed some equipment now this week, and I rang a buddy of mine, Dan Lennon in Cork. Dan, I'm doing this with a camera. Give me your settings. He was giving me his settings in the menus, and I was giving him mine. Between both of us, we had a camera set up in about 15 minutes. So yeah, it's great like that.
Ideal. Hi, Joe and Dominic. Attached are my photos for this month, making the most of it. The first one is a thatcher redoing the roof on Dina Lodge on a lovely day. The second one is a bird feeder growing grass. With all the wet weather, the birds didn't eat the wet seeds, and they sprouted, waiting for the grass to come out the top. Nohovel Graveyard, an old graveyard in Ballymacelligot, on a wet Sunday in November. Happy Christmas, Dominic, and to you too, Joe, as you celebrate your first Christmas with your little boy. Regards, Siobhan O'Connor, and thanks a million for that, Siobhan. And like, Siobhan is just a great photographer, but like, what a find that is. That is making the most of it. To get, you know, you don't see thatching too often, and to get it while they're actually at the roof. And then I tell you, the seeds messed them with the most of the wet weather anyway. No birds at them, and they sprouted.
Oh, but Joe, like that's a glasshouse. That's what that is. It's a glasshouse, and it's absolutely lovely like that. It's a real humour picture, isn't it, when you see it like that, and you see the seeds and they're sprouting out and look down, it's lovely. As for the thatch, like, look at the composition. It's very good. You've got the chimneys on top. There's not a lot of waste over the chimneys. It's nice and tight. It tells a great story. You can see the ladder. You can see the thatch. You can tell the height he's up where he's alongside the chimneys, and he's really tucked in working. You know, it's a great picture. I absolutely love it. And as for the bird feeder, excellent picture.
Good morning, Joe and Dominic. As 2025 is drawing to a close, I would like to wish you both and your families a very happy Christmas. I have just one photo this month, a walk on Waterville Beach on November 17th. Such a wonderful sight at this time of the year. It is surely a trip to Tiernanog. Míle Buíochas, Agnes O'Sullivan. And that is where Tiernanog is rumoured to be, right out there. And the sun is kind of lighting that silver pathway across the ocean, where you could imagine Niamh Keenore, Niamh of the Golden Hair, rode with her white horse.
You're the real historian, do you know that?
I don't know, it was kind of considered that history or folklore.
It's a great picture. And draw something, again, walking along the beach, great place, and you see the lovely reflections of the sun. Sun's quite low, coming in along there on that, and it's absolutely, look at the blue sky. You can get amazing blue skies this time of the year. It's absolutely fabulous when
and
you get them.
You can see for miles, because the blaskets are so clear to us now in South Kerry at the moment. It's beautiful to see. And the air seems so fresher as well, you know?
That's the rain a lot it takes. See, during the summer, you have less rain, you have more haze there.
Yeah.
Whereas during the winter, you have a lot of rain. Like, a great time to take pictures is after a shower rain.
Yeah.
It really enhances the colours, and it really brings everything up. So it's a great time to do it.
Hi, Joe and Dominic, making the most of it. Catching the setting sun, lighting the way off a ship off Carrick Island. Brendan Cassan.
It is a great picture, isn't it? Like that. It's a really kind of moody picture.
Very moody, isn't it? Yeah, moody, yeah.
Like that. Like you see that, you can see, is it the fog or the mist outside around the ship?
It right looks there? Like a piece of copper.
It does, yeah.
A photo.
It does. It's lovely. It's really nice like that, you know. And again, I always say, like, you know, like the subject is either in it or out of it. When it's out of it, it's slightly back away from it. So the ship doesn't, it isn't the whole photograph. The sun, the clouds are amazing up there like that. You know, absolutely lovely.
Now we have a few sporting photos. And finally, Ungaeltacht are certainly making the most of it these days, having won the County Intermediate Championship and the West Kerry Championship, and now competing in Munster Final this weekend. Of course, these are sent now ahead of time. Images show scenes of great joy and jubilation moments after Gaeltacht defeated Castle Gregory in West Kerry Final, best expressed in the faces of the young children. I love the last image of the three little guys closely watching the presentation ceremony and soaking it all up. Their innocent faces convey a sense of awe, wonder and delight. No doubt they are being inspired by it also, and can't wait for their opportunity to get out and repeat the heroics of the big boys. It reminds one of the old sayings, success breeds success and all that. Where would we be without sport and the GAA? Michael Kennedy in Inch. A lovely description there as well by Michael Kennedy, and well said.
It's brilliant. It's great to get an in-depth caption like that that tells the story and really gets you involved in pictures. It's a great picture, and I love sports. I think sports is fantastic. Great to get out to like that and to see the colours. And Gaeltacht have a very unusual jersey.
Strip.
Like that. It's like a sash going from I think the left shoulder.
The red sash with the white jersey, yeah.
The white jersey. So, like, and you'll always make it out. It's a very unusual. It's a lovely jersey, actually, on that. And it's great to see. And draw the crowd there like that. And you see Paddy O'Shea's son there, inside there, a little bit like that. You know, we kind of honoured that gentleman as well last night at the event we were at. Mm. It's great to see it. And, you know, the team shot. I think team shots are so valuable, and team shots as in bring everybody in that's there.
Yeah,
take the team, yes, we all do it, but bring in as many people, because that's an iconic picture and it lasts forever.
And people and sometimes people miss it, because, you know, especially nowadays when there's interviews after games and one lad's grabbed you know, brought over here, or the captain might have to do the presentation, you know, you kind of miss it. Photo of the month, Dominic?
The photo of the month, like, it just goes without saying, like, the quality of pictures are brilliant. If you're at home and you're trying to get into photography like that, you know, send us in whatever you have, good, bad or indifferent. We'll take it, we'll look at it, and we'll pass a comment on it, because, like, every little bit helps. And even I had to start from someplace, you know. So our winning photograph was Stephen O'Shea in the graveyard about the colours. It was absolutely brilliant.
Excellent.
The silhouettes of the gravestones and things like that.
You described it as perfection.
Yes.
Your humour photo of the month?
Humour photo actually has to go to Siobhan O'Connor. The glass house hanging off the bird tray. Like
the bird seeds that made the most of it by growing when they were wet.
Yeah,
excellent. Well done, Stephen O'Shea, and well done to Siobhan O'Connor there, our photo and our humour photo of the month, respectively. We're going to take a break, and Dominic's going to be telling us what he was up to last night then.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across the county. Serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1960.
Listening to The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Yes, Dominic Walsh is with us. And for our archive section, Dominic, you were at an event last night and you took a photo that will remind people a lot of Kerry GA and the nostalgia of it and the great success under Mick O'Dwyer.
It is, yes. Like, it was amazing that I had pictures picked out for my pictures from the past, and then I went along and I attended this event last night, and it was from the past, really, on that. What it was, the Kerry GA had a gala event at the INEC last evening, and they had members of the team and representatives from the teams from 1975 to 1986. On that, and we took it, and what they did was actually, and Mickey Ned O'Sullivan couldn't collect the cup on the day of his All-Ireland winning. He was knocked unconscious.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was Pat's
Bland. Well, I remember seeing it on the Golden Years videos, yeah.
And Pat's Bland stepped in for him on that. So what they did last night was Jarrett Burns, the GA president, was there, and they officially presented Mickey Ned Sullivan with the cup on that. And if you can see the picture, if you're home or looking at our pictures on the website, you can see that Mickey Ned is lifting that cup in the air on that. And my God, did he get a round of applause. It went on and on and on and on. And like, and he even said afterwards, he was quite emotional about it like that. Now, they did present him, I think, at their 30th anniversary. They did make a presentation as well. But I think this was done by the president of the GAA.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, and I see there's a lot of familiar faces there to anyone that would be watching Kerry GAA. I see Carol Dwyer is there as well, which is nice, like, representing Mick O'Dwyer. And you've Jor Power, Mikey Sheehy, Ogie Morn is there.
Bomber Liston.
Bomber Liston, yeah. It's great to try and name them all, you know. Mick Galway, yeah.
Pat Spillane.
Yeah, Pat Spillane was 70, of course, yeah. So happy birthday to Pat Spillane.
He said last night that he was really milking his birthday, so he was enjoying his birthday and happy belated birthday to him.
I'd say the noise in that room would be off the chart altogether, was it?
And Joe, like, if you at home can look at, like, I organised, there's about, is it 50 or 60 people in the photograph of all past players and players who had passed away, God rest them, and we had representatives from them coming in there. We had Mrs. King in there as well, and there's a few more on that, and we took it. They wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
I was trying to take the picture and I was saying, would you just stop talking? We would take, and would they stop talking? Now, it was great and they'd met like that, but I think, you know, it's historic.
Yes.
Like, they're there, and to hear them talking and to hear the cracking the jokes, and you did this and you did that. Remember the day you were up like that, you know,
yeah,
talking about jerseys going missing and you know, like, and guys going up to games without their kits and they were trying to get pull things together like that. It wasn't probably as formal and as well orchestrated and well run as it is now.
Yeah.
Not saying it wasn't any different that time. But I think that time, you know, like, even Bomber Liston was saying, like, he'd go into Fitzgerald Stadium, he'd do 15 laps of the pitch one way and 10 laps the other way and a couple of press ups and things like that. So that was their exercise, did it as well.
Excellent. We're out of time now. Before we nearly forgot, what's our theme for next month? Let people know.
Yeah.
What's our theme?
Tis this evening, or the evening,
this evening. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
Tis this evening.
It's the way Joe's looking at me here.
You can't read my writing, is it? Tis the season, yeah. So we're going the Christmas theme.
Christmas. And Christmas doesn't have to be about Christmas.
Yes.
It can be walking, it can be meeting friends, like just what it is the season. And please get the force into us. As we say, any questions, bring them in.
Excellent. And I'm putting that photo that you brought along with you there of the Kerry GAA anniversary. I'm going to put that up there as well on the Facebook page for you to look at. Dominic, thanks a million for coming in. And it is tis the season. So you can email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. And Dominic, you are not saying goodbye yet because you're going to come in again for my Christmas special programme right before Christmas Eve there. Whenever the Saturday is following there. Yeah, so thanks a million for that, Dominic. Now stay with us, because after the break we're going to be talking to folklorist Shane Lahan about his new book, Old Days, Old Ways, New Days, Ireland Remembered, written by him, where he brings Ireland's everyday past vividly to life. And we're also going to be going along to the Kerry Select exhibition at the Grills Gallery in Killorglin.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by the new Family Fish Box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars, packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Now you're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement, and I hope I find you well this morning. Joe, what's the photo theme for next month? I had to go away from the radio for a few minutes and miss it. Oh, that's terrible altogether, going away from the radio for a few minutes. The theme is Tis the Season. So you can email your photos to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. I'm not on Facebook, so how and where can I view the photos? I'm not good with technology, just the basics like checking websites. Well, if you're good at checking websites, you can go to radiokerry.ie, and they've kind of a new look website. I was looking at it there this morning, and you can click on the podcast section, and it's in focus with Dominic Walsh. You just click on the down menu there, and that'll take you directly to those photos we were talking about this morning. Now, step back into a world where turf fires warmed the heart, water was drawn from the well, and stories told by flickering candlelight lit up the night. In Old Ways to New Days, folklorist Shane Lahan brings the soul of Ireland's past to life in a beautifully woven tapestry of tradition, transformation and memory. From the magic of birth to the customs of death and mourning, from matchmakers and milking stools to butter charms and fairy lore, Lahan traces the arc of a society rooted in the land as it evolved with the arrival of bicycles, electricity, cinema and the wireless. And he joins me on the line now, no stranger to this programme. Good morning, Shane. How are you this morning?
Joe, I'm fantastic. And, you know, I'm so delighted to be chatting to you. And when you're reading that out, you know, nearly all my interest in aspects of the past and folklore and so on, it's been rooted in Kerry, you know, and I just love the opportunity to chat to you about this book that I'm incredibly proud of and delighted somehow, however I got it written and in between two covers and so on, get stuff out of my head down onto the page. But I'm just delighted to have it there, and just lovely to be able to share it with your listeners as well.
Yeah, and I read in an article that you wrote that your late father Tadhg used to write a daily column for the Evening Echo called Wise and Otherwise. So you didn't lick That's it off right. the ground.
No. And you know what? Like, anyone who knows me, I'm a little bit scatty, you know. I love kind of fun and, you know, jumping around. But the other aspect of that is that I'm also capable of going into into my study there and putting my head down and doing my research and writing. And I think I got that from my father, I'd say. Tadhg used to, he was a cartoonist and he was a historian. And every night of his life, Joe, he would sit down and he would create something out of his imagination, and he would publish that. And he did it for about 20 years, five nights a week on the Evening Echo. And what I loved about it is, a bit like myself, he loved the serious wonder of history, of the past, of our culture, you know, and celebrating it. But he couldn't resist the joke either. Yeah. Right? So there was always the little, and I find the same when I'm lecturing or when I'm talking or I'm doing anything like with yourself, it's the little story that I love, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was writing, Joe, when I've been doing other kind of academic stuff, there's no space for the laugh. There's no space for the bit of fun. Mm. There's no space for the funny story. And this book, I decided would be the opposite. I said, you know, if there was a yarn I remember, or, you know, a lovely phrase or something like that that wouldn't find its way into the academic journal, well, this is the avenue for it now, you know. Yeah.
Well, you talk about folk rituals, customs and beliefs from birth to death. So let's start at the birth. And, you know, a lot of the knowledge here fell to a local wise woman you mentioned in the book.
That's right, yeah. So, like, when you think about it, we didn't have the maternity hospitals, and, you know, people were reliant really on experience as well. And there were a lot of women in localities that were kind of the banlice, as we would call them, the women who knew about herbs and so on. They had the experience of time, and they were very important, almost in a placebo effect quite often, that if Mary from up the road was to come down when somebody was pregnant, you know, she was the band Luna as well, the kneeling woman, but she would know all the tricks and she would know all the methodologies, you know. People actually in the past, Joe, which is interesting, they didn't give birth the way people give birth now so much on their backs, let's say, that you would, yeah, not that I'm an expert in birthing techniques, no, but long ago, it was more like we would see with animals, that people were put onto all fours, you know, and very often what you had was that you had a sop, a big sop of hay or straw underneath them, and when the baby was born, the baby would come that way, and you have that lovely old Irish expression, on law, it hit me on top from the day I hit the sop. You know, it almost tells us from as long as I can remember, you'd say, on law, it hit me on top, you know, that, you know, you get that sort of idea. So I love thinking about that. And actually, I was doing a reading the other day, and there was a lady, the professor of obstetrics or something, was there, and she was saying, I'm looking forward now to reading your chapter on that. But there was one other little thing, Joe, that I always thought was funny. You know, the way men are always present now at the birth. It's kind of almost like, you know, a part of life's experience and so on.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're no use at all, like, especially like you know. But the midwives long ago, those women were wise as well. And when they saw the men kind of not coping with what was going on, they were sent off for water from a well, which might be maybe 3 miles away, to get them out of the way, you know.
I'd say there's some fathers that I wish that was still there.
Or they'd send them off, you know, will you collect a little, walk around the house 10 times and each corner pick a little wisp off the corner of the thatch, you know. So they were given meaningless jobs to get them away, you know. but I will say, birth wasn't, as we think about it today, you know, thankfully, nearly in all cases, we have brilliant interventions. We have cesarean sections, we have all of those things. But in the past, it wasn't there, and birth was frayed with the potential of death for the baby or for the mother. Mm. It wasn't. So these wise women, like, these were essential. They were huge, and psychologically, but also their experience. And for someone to have the solace of those was really important. So I write about that as well, because, you know, we tend to think all the science in the world, if you like, all the engineering in the world tends to be associated with men. But in the past, women were really, both at birth and marriage and death and all those things, the women were central to all those life events. And I think it's important to stress that.
Yeah, I suppose from a Kerry point of view, the Skellig's List is famous. And you're right that rural Ireland had a disproportionate share of bachelors and spinsters, many of whom they did not immigrate or move to the city, were confined to something of a subservient existence. But is this where the Skellig's List comes from then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if, you know, the ultimate position in life back then, in a way, and there was a great sort of, was to be married. Okay, you'd nearly get married to anyone rather than not be married, because you would be on your own. And it was complicated, Joe, because of dowries, because of the fortune, as it was called, and people had to, you know, you were marrying into a farm of land, and you know, money had to be paid out, and goodness me, like, people were slow to give up. Especially the father, especially if you had a load of daughters, you really were bereft. People didn't mind at all when boys were there, because they were kind of money in, but girls were money out, okay?
Yeah.
So what happened quite often then is that the eldest son would inherit the farm, and then anyone else left really had nothing to provide for them. And, you know, this was in an era prior to love, we'll say, you know, prior to people being independent, having another means of living. So essentially what happened is that there were lots of bachelors and spinsters, as we would call them, who were maybe working on the farm. Quite often, like, they would be the same age as, or just a few years younger, maybe, than their brother, who was the boss at this point. And they were called boys, like, the men that time were really seen as subservient. Oh. So what happened is you had a huge number of people who were unmarried, and it was just the socioeconomic situation of its day. The Skellig lists came in then when around Shrove Tuesday, just before Lent, when you had sort of Shrove was the most popular day to be married. You had to get married before Lent because you had to consummate your marriage. There was no sex, as you know, Joe, during Lent. So what happened is that if Shrove was the time to go at it, as the fellow says. So and if you missed that, you know, you weren't able to marry for another year. But what happens is, because the date of Easter was calculated differently out in Skellig to Heal, you had the opportunity maybe to go out to the rock and get married. And there grew out of that this concept of the Skellig lists. And all sorts of scurrilous rogues all around Munster, from Port McGee to Cork City, down to Bantry and everywhere and anywhere, they used to write these poems, if we call them, where you would take somebody who was unmarried, let's say, and you teamed them up with somebody else, you know. Sometimes they were elderly, sometimes you had an old man with a young woman, sometimes you had an old woman with a young man, all of that. And they used to castigate them in terrible language, mocking all of their hair, their clothes.
Yeah, they were quite cutting, weren't they?
Oh, they were incredible. Like, yeah. Listen, you know, I'd be saying to my students there, Joe, that it's a bit like social media trolling today. That's actually what was going on in the past. But as strange as it is, they were lapped up because these were anonymous. Nobody knew who wrote them. And they were absolutely, like, everyone was reading them because they would recognise them. And, like, I've been recording those now. They go right back into the early 1800s, okay? And there was acts brought in to try and stop them being produced. But I've got accounts from the 1960s, 1970s. I've collected a few from Valentia Island. I won't tell you who wrote them, but, you know, they've been going up to fairly recently, you know?
Yeah. You've a chapter that talks about beds. Can you tell us what you were at there?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I was at, Joe, right? So I'd be well used to what I would call the kind of, well, I in my own little head, I call it the classic folklore, you know. Mm. I do two things. One is I look at the cycle of the seasons, and I look at all the festivals that go around the year, from Patrick's Day to May Day to St. John's Eve and so on. The other thing I do is I look at the life cycle. But when I was writing, you know, I wanted to write about other things that were in my head. And one of the things I often talk about, think about, is our how we sleep, you know, and where we slept. And so what I call the extraordinary of the everyday. And, you know, when people long ago, you know, the main thing to do to sleep was to stay warm. And people used to, they didn't have beds the way we think about them today. So people used to have what they called a straw dog, which was a bunch of straw, literally, as close to the fire as you could. And in fact, rather than sleeping on your own, and rather than sleeping just with one person, everybody slept together. So you had, you know, the husband and wife, and then you might have the children around the outside. Down the other end, top to toe, you'd have the grandparents, okay? They were going the other way. You'd have to put up with their smelly feet on occasion. And then if you would have known Drizzerina Moore, or a fella coming in off the road, he'd bank down as well on the outside. And you might have, when they're the animals in the house, you know, you could have the pigs or the goats or anything all up again, everyone sleeping together.
Cozy.
Images. Yeah, you know, and it was, it's a little bit like, Joe, when we look at the Inuit, you know, the Eskimos, and we look at the Native Americans, like right throughout the world, people have been sleeping that way to stay warm. And yeah. Ireland was no different. But over time, what came in then, of course, was much loved and much remembered was the settle bed. Mm. And the settle bed, of course, was great because that was a seat by day with a high back on it. And you'd pull down the seat then, and you'd have this little box. And in there, then, of course, you'd have the mattress. The mattress was all important because the mattress was made up of the ticking, which was the dense material filled, of course, with the feathers. And the ticking was there, and you'd go in and you'd be cosy out inside in that. And there'd be no draft, you see, coming in under the door or anything of that sort because you were in that little box, you know. But yeah. Again, a multitude of people inside in the settle bed.
Yeah.
But there was so many other things, you know. But I brought it right up to my present day because I don't want the folklore to be just in the past. I want it to come up. So I remember well, you know, my own brothers and my, there was four of us in the bed on occasion, top to toe, no different to, you know, what you'd see on the television in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. People think that's a thing of novelty, but that was normal in many, many houses, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love the idea of bringing together the bed. I have one important thing to impart here, Joe, about beds, right?
Yeah.
This is very important. Now, one thing I always say is, you know, my father and my mother, they slept in the bed, and there was my father's side and my mother's side, okay? And that was grand. And when I went off on my own then to start off my own relationships, and I remember the first woman I was with, she was on my father's side. And I felt very put out by this altogether. I thought it was a traditional side of the bed. And, you know, for about 20 years, I was sleeping on the wrong side of the bed, as I thought, right? And then of course, when I moved on to the next woman in my life, then this was my opportunity. And it was a big deal for me. And I said, no, I'm sleeping now on this side of the bed, like a fella putting his foot down. And, of course, when I got to my father's side of the bed, what happened, of course, I couldn't sleep at all. I'd be so used to sleeping on the other side. But isn't it funny how we have traditions, you know, how things keep in our heads that we could habituate it to things. And that's what folklore is about as well.
Yeah.
You know, how we view the world.
Yeah. Shane, stay with us. You were getting out of the wrong side of the bed for many years. Stay with us. We're going to go to a break and we're going to be talking more about Shane's book, Always to New Days After These.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
If I was cyberbullied, you'd put your arm around me.
On Radio Kerry.
Yes, and last Saturday I was invited by Robert and Lucy Carter of the Grills Gallery to open their Kerry Select, an exhibition of 19 friends and colleagues across a range of media, including painting, sculpture, ceramic and prints. And the exhibition runs until the 21st of December, and it's from 12 to 5 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday. So have a listen to these interviews I conducted while I was there.
I'm here with Robert and Lucy in the Grills Gallery, and they've kindly invited me actually to help them open the Kerry Select exhibition, which is from the 29th to the 21st of December. So tell us a bit about what's going on today and what are the hopes going forward.
So this is a sort of follow-on from an exhibition we had in the summer for 3 months at the government buildings in Killarney. And that was great. We had great footfall in Killarney too. But it's bringing together a group of Kerry artists who first met up in the gallery a couple of years ago at a VAI event. And we've tried to carry that momentum forward and maybe keep meeting each other, keep chatting. Being an artist can be a lonely job. So anyway, today, 20 artists from all backgrounds doing print work, painting, landscapes, sound art, 3D work. Holger has got a bronze bell, so a bit of sound there too.
Embroidery. Ciara O'Connor has done a beautiful embroidered piece, which features a very colourful bag of Tato crisps.
Yeah, I saw that, all right, yeah, the Tato crisps. It's kind of imaginative and it's such a quintessential Irish thing, isn't it?
It's such a Christmas thing as well. But look, we've got an amazing group of artists doing a really diverse work. And we're so privileged, really, to be in the centre of the county and to be able to gather these people from Ballybunion, at least from Ballybunion, and there's three artists from Kenmare, so all around the county.
And there's Pauline Buick, very famous artist, her prints are here through her family's legacy. It's amazing to think there's another two generations as well that are here. Tell us about them.
Oh, spot on. Yeah. Poppy Melia and her son Aaron, next two generations after Pauline, have got their work here. Poppy's is beautifully meticulous and then Aaron's freer and more spontaneous. But yeah, come and have a look at what an amazing group of artists we have showing.
Yeah, and that's it as well. It's coming up to Christmas time as well. People will be home. Are you open all the time for people, you know, what are the opening hours? Because that is something I know, you know, Christmas week, people kind of, sometimes they're at a loose end wanting to do something as well. So yeah. What's the story?
We'll be open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 noon till 5 p.m. on those days. And we only live in town. So if people want to phone us up, we can open up by appointment. So that's 087-604-7559.
Excellent. 087-604-7559. And it's the 29th of November to the 21st of December. Best of luck with it. And it's brilliant to see all these Kerry artists being exhibited in such a wonderful space. And they get their flowers as well. It's great. So thanks a million for talking.
Thanks, Joe. Hi, my name's Ciara O'Connor, and I'm an embroidery and textile artist from Kenmare.
Ciara, tell us about the work you have on exhibition here.
It's a piece from my recent solo show, Grief's Current Shape, and it's a grief meditation about my brother Seamus. So I normally work in free motion embroidery, which is basically drawing with a sewing machine. And it's quite quick and, you know, which is one of the reasons I like it. But with this work, I wanted to kind of force myself to slow down and to sit in my grief. So it's very easy in everyday life to just, you know, you don't give yourself that time. You know, we're all busy and so I knew it was something I wanted to kind of delve into, and so this was my way of doing it. So I stitched with a single strand. So normally, like, if I'm hand stitching, it would be like you have a 6-strand embroidery floss and I might divide it in 2 or divide it in 3, but I did single strand, so it was really slow process, but it was it was a form of meditation and I'd say sitting in the grief.
Yeah, it's amazing to think of that's it's like it's almost a so it's a therapy, mm-hmm. but it's your work and it's your creative expression as well, and you've something then to look at that work at the end. It's amazing.
Yeah, but you're also, you know, you're touching the thing that you're making, and you're, you know, so you're holding the thing that you're making while you're thinking about this person. So you're touching something soft and warm and comforting, and you're the technique. It's, you know, it's a repetitive motion that kind of it for me, it's something that, it centres me and settles my nervous system, yeah.
Describe the work to people that can't see it at home.
So it's a still life embroidery of a collection of things that remind me of my brother Seamus. He died of cancer in 2012. So, they're objects that remind me of him, but the piece itself is, to some, I guess, would look unfinished because there are areas of it that are heavily stitched, and then there are areas of it that just are just an outline and almost a kind of ghostly object in the background. And the reason I stopped where I stopped was it didn't feel right to complete a meditation on a grief that I haven't processed. So I did three of them, one for my mum, one for my dad, and one for my brother. And, you know, once you've kind of know my thinking, it's quite obvious which death I've not come to terms with, but maybe allowed myself to lean into more.
What's it like having a space like this in the Grills Gallery to exhibit your work?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, ever since we met Lucy and Robert Carter, we've just become a lot more aware of what's going on around Kerry and the Kerry art scene. And they're just so supportive and bringing everyone in and getting people together. And, like, these guys are all great, but I never see them unless Lucy and Robert bring us together somehow, you know. That's been really special because it's something that is more difficult in Kerry, you know, like I see in other counties where all the artists kind of, you know, they network, they collaborate, they do things together, but we could be, you know, 2.5 hours drive from each other, you know, so it's not a case of just like meeting up on a weekly basis or and it is one of the difficulties of being an artist in Kerry is having that those creative spaces and being around other artists. A lot of Kerry artists, as you know, they're off in their home studios, they're working on their own, and for most of us it really helps to be around other artists. So, you know, that's something we're all working towards, how we come together more.
If someone wants to see more of your work, where should they go?
The best place at the moment would be my Instagram. It's Kira O'Connor Artist. Or my other Instagram is Twigging Kinmare.
Twigging Kinmare.
Twigging_Kinmare.
Thanks a million for talking.
Okay, thank you very much. So my name is Lisa Fingleton and I'm from Ballybunion.
Lisa, describe the work you have on this display here.
So I have three pieces on display here. So when you come into the gallery, the first thing you're met at is a giant bean, so made out of an oil can. So that idea of soil, not oil, that we need to transition away from, you know, oil. And I made a bean can out of it. So it says Ballybunion beans and Ponari in Irish. And the idea is looking at like climate change and how we can move towards a more plant-based diet, including beans. So we ran a bean festival in Ballybunion there over the summer, which was a huge success. So this is a piece of work from that. And then on the wall behind that, there's a little watercolour that says Ballybunion Bean Festival. And so both of those pieces were shown there in September in the Irish Museum of Modern Art. So all of the team at Brilliant Ballybunion went to the museum to show our work. So we decided to move it down here to Killorglin today. It's great. And then the last piece is a piece with a bee upside down with an expletive made out of the European stars. And that was the day that Europe granted a licence to glyphosate and for Roundup, basically, in Europe. And I was thinking about the poor bees and all the chemicals coming down on top of them. So the bee is in a bit of a tragic state upside down. So I suppose Lucy and Robert are just so amazing here and they do such amazing work. And they wanted work that would be kind of humorous, but also serious and get people in the mood for the winter season.
Mm. What's it like to have a place like this to exhibit your work? There's a great buzz out there now. And what's striking me about even today, the opening, is such a networking event for artists here in the county.
Robert and Lucy are absolutely extraordinary, and it's kind of indescribable what they've actually brought to the Kerry art scene. Like, they're so generous with their time, they're so generous with their energy and the space. Like, they keep opening it up to people. I don't know how they do it. They're amazing, and it's so professional. And then they have like a photographer like Dave Ryan taking these extraordinary photographs. So I feel like they've really like raised the bar in Kerry in terms of us having this wonderfully professional space along with other spaces that we have in Kerry. So I just think they're amazing. And do you know what they do? And they do it really well, is this idea of the Kerry, you know, artists working together and linking together. I mean, this is the main opportunity for us to connect. We connect at, you know, 12 o'clock on a Saturday every other month, and we get to support each other. And I just think they're absolutely extraordinary, and I couldn't speak more highly of them, really.
I always ask Lisa this, what are you up to at the moment? Because you're always up to something interesting.
What am I up to at the minute? Do you really want to know? So I suppose we've had this really amazing project called Brilliant Ballybunya on our farm, the Barn Away, and it's sort of exceeded all our expectations. So our job was to bring the community with us, looking at creativity, food and climate action. And it's just been amazing. So because of the success of it, we've been asked to write a book. So we're writing a book about that now called What If We Were Brilliant, which will be coming in the new year. And that's looking at how a small community can actually be amazingly brilliant in the face of the climate and biodiversity crisis. I'm also writing another book about kind of different art projects and things I've been involved in over the years. And I'm also making a film called The Lovelacon, which is about, you'd love this. So we decided, as you do, to make a pond in the field. And I thought, wouldn't it be lovely if it was the shape of a heart? And then I thought, Lochon, an Irish pond, you know. So we called it the Lovelacon. Yeah. So you can see it from the sky, I know. And then it turned into an art project. It was meant to be a rainwater harvesting project. But anyway, look, that's kind of some of the projects that are on the go at the minute. But just generally, like, lots of projects to do with nature and lots of projects at the Barn Away in terms of working with communities and trying to bring people together and make connections. I don't know if you find this, but a lot of people are saying they feel really lonely. Mm. And yet we're spending all this time. I'm talking to young people through my work as the artist in residence of the county. I was working with 60 young people on Monday in Causeway. And, you know, we were talking about the thing of connection, and everyone's looking on their phone, they're on their breaks, they're looking at the phone, and yet people have never been more lonely. So I feel like art and creativity and spaces like this bring people together. And I think that is what's needed going forward. You know, AI can do what it likes, but it's going to have severe damage for artists and the art scene. And I think what AI cannot do is the cups of tea, the kindness, the hugs, the laughs, the smiles. And I think that's what we have in abundance here today in the Grills Gallery in Killorton.
My name is Neil Nessens, and I live in West Kerry in Brandon.
Neil, tell us about the work you have on exhibition here this over the coming weeks.
I have a couple of pieces outside, and they're from an exhibition I had in Dublin called A Walk in the Sublime, which was a show that was acknowledging the importance of romanticism for the landscape artist. And the two pieces I have out here are, one of them is a landscape with a rough sea, and it's actually County Achill. It's in Achill Island. And it's called Hound and a Near Gale of Wind. And so that's, I think, 4-7 or something. And the landscape is empty except for this hound that is looking back at you, which gives you the impression that there might be more people around. And there's the wind has blown a distraction off some kind of debris across the front. So it's kind of a dramatic picture.
The yours is the work with the Massey Ferguson in it as well, isn't it?
Oh, there's that one out there as well, yeah. That's my neighbour's tractor, which is probably nearly as old as me, I think. They're very intriguing things because several people still use them, and they're 50 years old and 60 years old, some of them now, and they can repair them and keep them moving. And it's great to see that, because most things that we use and buy now, once they break, you just replace them. But, you know, the Massey Fergusons are in for the long haul.
Yeah, but it's very much part of telling the story of rural Ireland, isn't it? They played such a role after the donkey, after the horse, they came in, and they have such nostalgia for people as well.
Yeah, they would have changed everything, really, for people, because, you know, they could plough and they could carry weights, and you know, they could use them for everything, and you know, it's amazing to see that they're still going. And but I mean, a lot of people around us would have bigger tractors now, but they don't have the same appeal as this thing, which has actually given so much to the farming community in West Kerry and other places similar.
What's it like to have your work on exhibition here, and what's it like to have a facility like the Grills Gallery to exhibit at?
Lucy and Robert are amazing people because, you know, they're not just artist-friendly people. They love artists. They're trying to champion art. It, you know, I don't get the feeling that when you come in here, it's a shop, even though the work is for sale. Their interest in the work is far deeper than that. And they love creativity. They're creative people themselves. They make art themselves and many other creative things. And I think the whole ethos of the Grill Gallery is so healthy and so welcoming. And so, you know, they're celebrating what these artists are doing. And I think their interest in the work comes true in the shows they have. It's, you know, there's always a surprise. It's an eclectic kind of work that they have here, and they're interested in it all. And I know Robert is there behind me, and so I don't want to say too much about him, but you know, they are great people, and they've become friends as well as, you know, gallerists to all of us.
Thanks a million for talking to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the Kerry Select exhibition, which is taking place until the 21st of December from 12 to 5 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday at the Grills Gallery in Clarglow. We're going to take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.